Hi, I'm Robin.
And I'm Chris. Together we're the Gen X couple.
Hey guys, take four.
Hello, everyone.
It was Chris's fault.
For one of them.
For the first one. We were almost all the way through, and then he like started pointing at stuff on my outline and messed me all up, and then I had to stop because I got confused. And then the second one, I don't even know why.
And the third one.
And the third one was because yours. I said the second one instead of the third one, and now we're here on the fourth try. But moving on, I wanted to explain what we're doing today, because you probably saw the title, which was 1965, A Groovy Look Back in Time. And I wanted to explain why we're going to talk about the year 1965 today. As you know, Chris and I are Gen X, and we thought it would be fun if we dedicated one episode per year for Gen X. So we're going to do one episode for each year that Gen X falls between. Did that make sense?
It did. And Gen X ranges from 1965 to 1980.
So we're going to do one episode for each year between 1965 and 1980. This is the first.
So we're setting our time machine dial to the groovy year of 1965. It was a year of peace marches, chart-topping tunes, and some truly peculiar happenings.
Peculiar.
So buckle up, grab your bell bottoms or your space helmet, and let's dive right in.
Let's set the stage. Picture it. It's 1965. Lyndon B. Johnson was president. The Sound of Music was serenading audiences in theaters, and the miniskirt was scandalously creeping into fashion. Gas cost about 31 cents a gallon, and you could mail a letter for a nickel. Oh, and color TV? That was still a luxury for most families in 1965.
And here's a fun fact to kick us off. The average cost of a new car was $2,650. Can you imagine rolling up to your local dealership with just a few thousand bucks?
No.
The catch, of course, was that your car probably didn't have air conditioning or seatbelts in the back seat, because safety wasn't exactly a top priority back then.
Yeah, I can't imagine having a car without air conditioning. That's crazy talk. Now, you can't talk about 1965 without mentioning the Beatles. They were everywhere. This was the year that they released their classic album, Help. And the unforgettable single Yesterday was on that album. And just a fun fact for me, Yesterday holds the record as the most covered song in history, with over 1,600 versions of it recorded. That's right. So somewhere, someone probably has a version of this done in a kazoo. You just never know what's out there. But the Beatles weren't the only ones rocking out. The Rolling Stones released I Can't Get No Satisfaction that year, and that was a song born from Keith Richards' sleepy strumming in the middle of the night. Talk about dreaming up a hit, right? And let's not forget Bob Dylan, and he scandalized folk music purists by plugging in an electric guitar at the Newport Folk Festival. Some fans booed, some cheered, but everyone definitely had an opinion.
Also, 1965 was the year Mary Quant, the queen of British fashion, popularized the miniskirt. It's said that the skirt's name was inspired by her favorite car, the Mini Coupe. How's that for a fashionable ride?
Yeah, Mini Coopers are super cute, and I love that she used those as her inspiration. But over in the world of science and technology, 1965 was buzzing with excitement. Soviet cosmonaut Alexei Leonov, I'm not sure if I pronounced that right or not, L-E-O-N-O-V, became the first human to perform a spacewalk, floating outside his spacecraft for 12 minutes. He later described it as, quote, like a seagull soaring through the sky, end quote. But meanwhile, here on Earth, Gordon Moore made an observation that would change the tech world forever. He predicted that the number of transistors on a microchip would double every year, which is a concept we now call Moore's Law. So translation of that, it basically means that our gadgets would keep getting faster and smaller. And now here we are in 2025 with computers in our pockets. So thanks, Gordon.
Yes, thank you. Now let's move on to food. 1965 was the year Subway opened its first sandwich shop in Bridgeport, Connecticut. But back then it was called Pete's Super Submarines, which doesn't quite roll off the tongue like Subway does.
No, not at all. Also, in 1965, Tupperware parties were all the rage. These were social gatherings where women could get together and gossip, snack, and buy some airtight plastic containers. Think of it as the 1960s version of online shopping. And here's a weird one. In 1965, Americans were obsessed with gelatin molds. Yes, people were suspending everything from vegetables to seafood in shimmering towers of jello. And why? Nobody knows.
I wonder if that's where they got the inspiration for Jim and Dwight on The Office.
It must be, because we're huge fans of the show. And in the pilot episode, they had... Actually, didn't they do it? I think they did it in the British version first. I don't remember. But yeah. Jim suspended Dwight's stapler in Jell-O, and it was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
One of the funniest moments on the TV show. If you've never seen The Office, go watch it. It's the best comedy ever made. And I don't remember what I was going to say.
Yeah, but every year had its quirks, and 1965 was no exception. Did you know this was the year that a lava lamp really took off? Invented a couple years earlier by a guy named Edward Craven Walker, the lava lamp became the ultimate symbol of groovy counterculture decor.
I had a lava lamp in the 90s. They had made a comeback at one point, and I remember my mom got me one, I think for Christmas or something. I had a purple one. It was super cool.
I think we got our youngest one, too.
No, he asked for one. There was a period of time where he kept asking for one, but I knew it was going to blow over, so I never got him one. And we had seen them when we were Christmas shopping this past year, and I almost got him one. And then I asked him about it, and he's like, I don't want a lava lamp. So I'm glad I didn't waste the money. And we're going to go back to 1965. That was the year that Pampers disposable diapers hit the market. Before that, parents were stuck washing cloth diapers. Talk about a game changer.
Yes.
I can't even imagine. I know there are some crunchy mamas who do cloth diapers, but... not me. I'm all for the disposable, especially the dirty ones. Gross.
Yes.
Yeah, give me disposable diapers all day, any day.
And over across the pond in Britain, the post office started issuing the world's first commemorative Christmas stamps. And today they're collector's items. But back then, they were just a way to jazz up your holiday mail.
Sports fans, this one's for you. In 1965, the first ever Super Bowl wasn't even a thing yet. But in baseball, Sandy Koufax of the Los Angeles Dodgers threw a perfect game, solidifying his status as one of the greatest pitchers of all time.
Also in 1965, entertainment gave us I Dream a Genie and Get Smart. Who could forget Agent 86 bumbling his way through spy missions or Genie popping out of her bottle to grant wishes?
And speaking of spy stuff, 1965 also saw the release of the James Bond movie Thunderball. It was the highest grossing Bond film at the time, and it featured a jetpack. Yes, a real jetpack in 1965.
And the iconic Ford Mustang was officially launched in April 1965. Marking a major milestone in the American automotive industry.
Another thing that was introduced in 1965 were Pringles. They quickly became a household name, and they're not potato chips. I don't know what they are, but they're delicious, and we love Pringles.
I love Pringles. The first ever Super Bowl was held on January 15th, 1967, but its predecessor? The AFL/NFL World Championship game occurred in 1965, where the Green Bay Packers defeated the Kansas City Chiefs.
We probably should have mentioned that after we mentioned the baseball guy, but...
oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. It's all good. So now I'm going to give you some popular baby names in 1965. And the most popular baby names for girls were Mary, Lisa, Susan, Karen, and Kimberly. And the most popular baby names for boys were Robert, Michael, James, William, and David.
And the U.S. population was at 194 million, and the world population was at 3 billion that year. And the average income was $6,902, and the average cost of a new home in 1965 was $21,000.
That's crazy. Imagine.
Yes.
That's wild. You can't even get a new car for that now. That's wild. Now I'm going to give you the top 10 songs of 1965 according to the Billboard charts. Number one was Woolly Bully by Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs. Number two was I Can't Help Myself, Sugar Pie Honey Bunch by the Four Tops. I Can't Get No Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones was number three. You Were On My Mind by We Five. I don't know that song. I don't think I've ever heard it. Number five was You've Lost That Lovin' Feeling by the Righteous Brothers. Number six was Downtown by Petula Clark. Help by the Beatles was number seven. Can't You Hear My Heartbeat by Herman's Hermits was number eight. Crying in the Chapel by Elvis was number nine. I don't think I've ever heard that song either. And then number 10 was My Girl by The Temptations. So many good songs on that list, except yes. for the two I've never heard of.
And in 1965, the top 10 grossing films in the US were The Sound of Music with $72 million. You can take this next one.
The second biggest movie of 1965 was Dr. Zhivago, which grossed $43 million.
And Thunderball came with $27 million. Those Magnificent Men in Their Flying Machines, $14 million. The Great Race, $11.4 million. That Darn Cat, $9.5 million. Cat Ballou was $9.3 million. What's New Pussycat, $8.5 million.
I wonder if that's where the song came from. Isn't that a Tom Jones song?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I might have just made that up.
And you want to take this last one, the next one?
Number nine was Shenandoah, which grossed $7.8 million.
And number 10 was Von Ryn's Express at $7.7 million.
I've only ever heard of two of these, The Sound of Music and Dr. Zhivago. I've seen parts of The Sound of Music, but I've never seen the whole thing all the way through. And I know my parents have watched Dr. Zhivago before, but I've never seen it. I've never heard of any of the other ones. How about you?
Yeah, I've seen Sound of Music a million times. Great movie, but not a Christmas movie. And I've seen Thunderball. I think that's with Burt Reynolds.
It's because they have that song that these are a few of my favorite things. And they made that into a Christmas song, but it's not a Christmas song. We've talked about this on this pod before. Yes. You know my feelings. I've never seen that movie all the way through, but I know you were raised on movies like that.
Yes.
We weren't. I was watching soap operas with my mom while you are watching fun movies like Mary Poppins. And I don't know about The Sound of Music. I don't think that falls under fun, but
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah. I had never even seen that until
Dick Van Dyke.
Actually, have I ever seen that? I don't know if I've seen it, but we did watch Disney movies on Sunday nights during the World of Disney.
Yes.
We watched Herbie the Love Bug and what's that one, Flubber? I've seen a lot of those movies, but I've never seen Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I don't feel the need to see it now, so don't feel like you have to put it on. But anyway, we're getting off topic. Let me rein it back into 1965. I want to tell you about some of the most popular television shows. And we mentioned it earlier, but I Dream of Jeannie was a popular show in 1965. And for those of you kiddos out there who don't know, it was a comedy about a genie in a bottle who was played by Barbara Eden and her master, Larry Hagman, who I think went on to play JR in Dallas, which was a big show in the 80s. And this show blended fantasy with humor, obviously, because genies in bottles aren't real. The next one was The Addams Family. And I think everybody probably already knows what The Addams Family is because they've made many shows about it. And with Wednesday on Netflix, I think everybody knows about The Addams Family. But just in case you don't, it was a spooky, dark comedy series featuring the quirky Addams Family. The next one was Gilligan's Island. And I loved watching this in reruns back in the day. And that was a sitcom about seven castaways stranded on a deserted island. And it was lighthearted and funny. And it was mostly, it was about how they all tried to get off of the island. And
yes, that professor could make anything with coconuts.
Yeah, he kept trying to make communication devices with coconuts. He was really the OG MacGyver, if you ask me.
He was.
Another show that was popular in 1965 was Bonanza, which was a long-running Western drama about the Cartwright family and their adventures on the Ponderosa Ranch. The next one is The Andy Griffith Show, and that was a beloved comedy about life in the small town of Mayberry, focusing on Sheriff Andy Taylor, who was played by Andy Griffith, and it was about his family and his friends. And I think Ron Howard played his son Opie on that show, if I'm not mistaken.
You're right.
Yay, I'm always right.
Also, Don Knotts was in that.
Oh, yeah, I love Don Knotts. He was in a couple of really good movies in the 60s that I know I had seen, you know, like in reruns on Channel 56. back in the olden days, but I don't remember any of them. There was one where he became a fish. It was like half animated.
Oh, I don't remember.
Mr. Limpet, like the Incredible Mr. Limpet or something like that, where it was like half animated, but half, you know, real people. But anyway, we're getting off topic again. I've never seen the Andy Griffith Show. I just knew somehow that Ron Howard was on that show. Anyway,
the Beverly... You wouldn't like it anyways because the opening song is all whistling.
Oh, is it? Oh, I would hate that. I hate whistling. Why do people whistle? It's so creepy. Stop whistling, you guys. There's nothing productive about people that whistle. It's disgusting. It's creepy. Stop. And while I'm on the topic, stop winking. I hate when people wink. It's so creepy. It's the creepiest thing. There's a commercial that we see all the time for tea. I forget what brand of tea it is. And it's a lady. And she's like, oh, I have my tea. I'm going to sit and we're going to get all cozy. And then she looks at the camera and she winks. And whatever the tea is, I'm never buying it because she winked at me. I hate it.
Marsh gives me a couple winks.
She does. She winks and I hate it. It's so creepy. I don't know what it is about winking. I got way off topic. So I'm going to go back to the shows of 1965. And I'm going to tell you, did I mention the Beverly Hillbillies already?
Nope. You're on number six.
Okay. So guess what? It's about the Beverly Hillbillies, which was a sitcom about a poor family from the Ozarks who strike it rich and move to Beverly Hills. And apparently it was a comedy. I imagine a poor family moving to Beverly Hills would get into all kinds of scenarios, but I've never seen it. So
it's a great show.
Is it? Have you seen it?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm not watching that either because I have no interest. Thanks. The next one is The Twilight Zone, which at the time was groundbreaking, and that was an anthology series known for its twisted endings and exploration of social issues through science fiction. I've seen a handful of episodes and reruns. It was kind of like the predecessor to Black Mirror.
Yes.
Yeah. The next one it was Bewitched, and that was a magical sitcom about a witch who was played by Elizabeth Montgomery, who marries a mortal man. And they have to navigate family life with her supernatural powers. Perry Mason was a legal drama centered on a defense attorney named Perry Mason, who was played by Raymond Burr, and he solved complex cases. And the last show that was popular in 1965 was Batman, and he was a campy superhero, and it featured Adam West as Batman and Burt Ward as Robin, and it was known for its iconic visual style and lighthearted tone.
And every generation has their slang, and some of these were popular back in 1965. Now, give me some skin, that which is a handshake, or lay it on me, which means tell me. Out of sight was awesome. Let's jam, let's get out of here to leave. Hanging loose means relax, and going steady means dating.
Okay. Here are some notable people that were born in 1965. I started the list with my favorite person on the list, SJP, Sarah Jessica Parker. And she is an actress. She's been in a ton of movies, Hocus Pocus, obviously. But I think she's probably best known for playing Carrie Bradshaw in Sex and the City. Eddie Vedder, who is the lead singer and songwriter for the band Pearl Jam, was born on December 23rd, 1965. I'm not going to give you all their birthdays because I know you guys don't care that much. Courtney Love, I am going to give you her birthday because she shares a birthday with me, July 9th. She is a musician and actress, and I think she's probably best known for being married to Kurt Cobain, who was the lead singer of Nirvana. And she also was the lead singer of a 90s alternative band called Hole. They had a few hits, and I know she's been in movies, but I can't think of anything she's been in, so I can't tell you. Johnny Depp was born in 1965, and we all know who he is. And I think, other than Edward Scissorhands, his most famous role is probably Jack Sparrow in Pirates of the Caribbean. Will Ferrell was born in July of 1965, and you guys probably know him for Anchorman and Elf. Especially Elf. That's probably his biggest movie, I would say. Tina Fey was born on May 18th, and she is a comedian, an actress, she's a writer. She started on Saturday Night Live, and then she went on to do 30 Rock with Alec Baldwin and a bunch of other awesome comedians. And I think we most recently saw her on Only Murders in the Building. She was in the first couple of seasons on that, and she was so good. Brad Pitt was born in 1965, and he's been in a ton of movies. I don't know if this is his most famous, but it's the first one that popped into my mind. Fight Club.
Yes.
Oprah Winfrey, who needs no introduction, was born on January 29th, 1965. Ben Stiller was born in 1965. And you guys probably know him from Zoolander and Something About Mary and the Night at the Museum movies. Mariah Carey, she was born March 27th. And now I'd say she's probably most known for yes. All I Want for Christmas Is You. But believe it or not, kids, she actually was a big pop star in the 90s. She had a ton of number one hits. She had so many songs, and she's got a great voice. And I almost feel bad that it's kind of come down to her really only being known for her Christmas music, which is great, but she has so many other good songs. So go listen. Go listen, you guys. Chris Rock was born in 1965, and, you know, he's a comedian, actor, producer. The next one I'm excited to talk about is Tim Burton, who was born on August 25th, 1965. And if you've ever seen Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands, and The Nightmare Before Christmas, then you are familiar with Tim Burton's work as a filmmaker. He's phenomenal. Charlie Sheen was born in 1965, and he's probably mostly known for Two and a Half Men before Ashton Kutcher took over. And he was in a bunch of movies back in the 80s. I think Platoon probably is one of the biggest. Hugh Jackman, the Wolverine, was born on October 12th, 1965. Melrose Place's own Heather Locklear was born on September 25th, 1965. She's also been in a couple of other shows, Dynasty. My parents watched that, but I loved her in Melrose Place. Robert Downey Jr., who you guys know as Iron Man, he was born on April 4th, 1965. And finally, Angela Bassett, who I also adore, was born August 16th, 1965. And she most recently, I think, was in the Black Panther movies. She was also in a movie about Tina Turner's life called What's Love Got to Do With It? And she was in a couple of seasons of American Horror Story. Yeah, I wish she would come back. She was so good. And I think that's pretty much all we have for 1965.
Yeah, time travelers, that wraps up our journey. And thanks for tuning in. If you had a fun today, please subscribe, leave a review, and tell your friends.
Yeah, next week we have a very weird but true story for you guys. So make sure you come back Thursday and every Thursday, because we're here every Thursday. We have a new episode. And until next time, keep it groovy. And remember, history is best when it's a little quirky.
See you later, alligator.
And a wild crocodile.